What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Anxiety Now. This is your host, your only host, Jordan Harrell. I am the only one doing this now. There is nobody else. I'm done with Mike. I'm done with guests. I'm done with everybody. I'm just going to record this alone. It's going to be actual Anxiety Now. I got nobody here. Nobody. It's just going to be me talking into this microphone alone without anyone to help me. Because I don't need anybody. I don't need any of you. I can do this alone. How does that make you feel? I don't need anybody. No, it actually would be really nice if someone did it with me. I'll probably occasionally get guests, but primarily I just want to do it alone. I just get so tired of coordinating stuff with people. Like last week, Andre Thompson was on the podcast. Great, funny dude. Love him. Showed up an hour and a half late. To record the podcast. That's fine. I get it. He's a black dude. He's on color people time. That's what they always say when they show up, you know? Color people time. As if every race isn't just late. Always. Everyone is always late now. And I think that's due to the fact that we all have cell phones, so everyone can just let you know they're not going to be there when they said they'd be there. And so everyone thinks it's totally acceptable to just show up when you feel like it for stuff. But yeah, he showed up like an hour and a half late, and it's just, I don't want to sit here waiting for people to record a thing when I don't really know if I need other people to help me record and make stuff. I can just record this on my own, just talk on my own with Adam, you know? And Mike quit the podcast because he just doesn't want to be affiliated with that network at all anymore. And also, he may be revamping his podcast with Gene Getman from Social Villains because he's a huge cuck. That's basically it. Mike Cusco's a huge cuck. Everyone, go on the record, tweet at him, let him know that I called him a huge cuck on the podcast. And it's because it's what he is. It's what he is. I personally think it's kind of a bitch-ass move by him to quit a podcast, start a new podcast, and then go back to the old podcast. But, hey, that's like kind of like some ex-girlfriend stuff that I don't want to be affiliated with. So, from now on, it's just me, guys. It's just me. That's all you get. You get Jordan for 30 minutes to an hour. Whatever comes out, okay? Whatever comes out, that's what happens. So Andre showed up an hour and a half late, and he said that he had diarrhea. That is why he showed up an hour and a half late. Everyone uses that as an excuse now. Everyone in the world is always using, oh, I'm sorry, I had diarrhea. That's why they're always late. They're always late because of diarrhea, because nobody ever wants to question it. Everyone knows it's the perfect excuse for why you're late. It's just to say, I had diarrhea, because everyone just goes, oh, yeah, we've all been there. You know what? Fuck that. I don't believe it anymore. No longer. No longer. Whenever anyone says they have diarrhea and that's why they're late, I say, oh, that's cool. Okay. Show me. Show me the diarrhea. I want to see it. I want to see proof. You know what? I want the diarrhea in the toilet bowl. I want your head next to the toilet. And I want today's newspaper on the other side. I want proof that that's why you're late. I want proof. It's not good enough to me. It's not good enough. This diarrhea thing, everyone just throws it out there. It's unacceptable. Everyone just shows up late all the time. It's so annoying. Is it so hard for anyone in the world to just show up at the time a thing is supposed to be, at the time you said you're going to be there? We're like, I'm 30. I don't have time for people to be late all the time. I can't stand it anymore. Have you gone on a date recently? Nobody shows up on time for any dates. Nobody. What's always so funny, you ever text someone? You ever text someone? Oh, I'm running 15 minutes late. And they're also just running, like, even later. And they're just, and then when you get the text, let's say you're on the later end, you're the one who's showing up even later than the 15 minutes. When you get that text, you go, oh good, I don't have to hurry. So now you're even later than you were supposed to be. Who was it? One of my buddies, Dan Dagnus, he said one thing he does if he's showing up late for a thing is he will actually stop and get a coffee. He'll stop at a Starbucks and buy a coffee for him and forever he's late to meet. He'll buy two coffees, and that way they're just so happy that they've got a coffee that they forget about the lateness. If you were a real douche, though, what you would do is you would buy one coffee and still show up like a half hour late. And just be like, yeah, I don't give a shit. This is when I show up. I show up when I feel like it, when I want to. And I don't give a shit about your time. I don't give a shit about your time. So, oh, man. Jesus Christ. I don't know. What was another thing that I thought to talk about is that, I don't know. I hate having, like, really bad interactions with people. Like, there's this one dude, his name, let's just invent a name, because I don't want to, like, be in a thing where someone listens to this and lets a person know that I was talking about them. And just suffice it to say that this guy is not a funny comedian. He's horrific. He's been doing it for 11 years, and he lives in Jersey. Or he's from Jersey. Now he's been in the city for like 6 years, and he's going nowhere. But he kind of acts like he's got a lot of swag. I feel like I'm like one detail away from revealing who I'm talking about. If I just threw out one more detail, you would know exactly who I'm talking about. And so this guy, let's call him Herman. Let's just go with Herman, just so that we don't have to worry about him even finding out. There's nobody's been named Herman for like 50 fucking years. So, yeah. So Herman and I don't know, this is the interaction we had. You guys can let me know if you think I'm in the wrong here. I did this like this thing, I don't know, a couple months ago, this one-liner madness show. It was a bunch of like it was a contest where you go head to head with whoever has the best with one-liners, and you say your one-liner and they say their one-liner, and whoever wins goes on to the next round. And I was in it. I don't know if you've ever seen my stand-up, but suffice it to say, it's a little scant on the one-liners. Mitch Hedberg, I am not. I don't even understand one-liners. I don't really like them. I frankly don't enjoy whenever anyone says like a one-liner to me. Here's my reaction to a one-liner. Yeah. Nah. That's it. That's my reaction to one-liner. Anytime anyone does like a clever one-liner, I just go, because there's just nothing. They just don't make me laugh. They just aren't. There are like most of them are just like wordplay or like an observation where you just go, cool, like a thumbs up. That's like the most you can usually do for like a one-liner. Just like, sweet. They're like they're memes to me. Unfortunately, now I just prefer more free-flowing stand-up. But I was in this contest, which I actually only prepared one one-liner, because I planned on being eliminated first round, and when I did, boy, was I relieved that I did not have to come up with a second one in the next 5 minutes when I would have had to go up again. So I'm in this contest, this one-liner madness contest, get eliminated first round, and I run into Herman, again, not his real name, I'm just standing there, and he comes up to me, or I say hi to him, because I know him. I've known him for like 5 years. That's what's crazy about stand-up, is you'll know people for like crazy amounts of time, and you'll have built like, I mean, you have your great friends and your close friends, but there's all these people you'll just like know for years and you will not give a shit about. You'll know nothing about them and they'll know nothing about you, but you'll just see them like every single day. Like, you know all of each other's jokes, or you know like random tidbits of stories they do, but you know nothing about them. So he's a guy who I've known for a long time, and he's never given me the time of day. He knew me when I was trash at stand-up, which he's still trash. He hasn't gotten better since I've known him. I'll send you a clip. I'll send you a clip of who it is, just so you know. I'll send you the clip of who it is if you really, really want it. I'll send you his clip, and you'll be like, this is 11 years of stand-up? But I'm trying to be positive to people. So I try to greet everyone with positivity. And so I say, hey, what's up, Herman? How you doing, man? And he goes, good, man. How are you? And I'm like, good. He goes, did you do the contest? And I go, yeah, I did the contest. And then he goes, how'd you do? And I go, I got eliminated in the first round. And he goes, figured. What a douche. What a douche. I don't really care about one-liners. I don't care about this contest. But why would you use just a normal interaction just to, like, put me down? So now I'm at a point where I'm not just going to take that, right? I'm not just going to let someone just clown me like that and be rude to me. So I go to him. I say, well, what'd you do tonight? And he goes, I went to an open mic. And I go, figures. Fire with fire, baby. Fire with fire. What's the problem? You know what I mean? I didn't do the first hit. That's the thing. I came up. I said hi. I was just trying to have a normal interaction. I wasn't trying to have this tit for tat thing. This thing where we like shit on each other or attack each other. I was just trying to have a normal, how are you doing? That's cool. Just one of those. Hey, I know who you are. Let's both go our separate ways types of interactions. I wasn't trying to do a thing where we one-up each other. Now, he says that. Remember, he took the first hit. I didn't have the first hit. I didn't come at him first. I came at him with just, hi, how are you? So, and then he decided he was the one who opened that sort of we're going to shit on each other interaction. And then he goes, I hate when people do this. He goes, yo, man, what's that about? Why you get so defensive? Because you attacked me. That's why I got so defensive. That's why you get defensive. It's because someone attacked you. If somebody said something to you that's rude and mean, and then you fight back at all, yeah, makes sense you got defensive. Just like when people say, oh, why do you take things personally? Because you insulted me personally. I'm having a completely rational response to what you said. This is completely rational. How I am reacting is rational. And then we just have an awful interaction of him, like, he and I just, like, kind of, I'm being like, what are you talking about on me being defensive? And he's like, you're always so defensive. You always take all these things personally every time I see you. And I say what I just told you. I go, well, that's because you just insulted me. So, of course, I would react this way. He goes, nah, but you're just, like, soft. And it's like, yo, dude, you insulted me, and then I hit back. That is what we're doing. That is our interaction. And, of course, I think I just go like, yeah, man, you know, to be honest, you're just like, it gets to the point. Now, this is, of course, my luck. So now we're having like a really, like, it's a gross, it's not friendly at all. It's really a tense interaction. At this point, of course, this is just my luck. I go, yeah, man, I don't know. Every time I see you, you're just like a jackass to me. That's it. You're just an asshole to me every time I see you, and I don't understand why. And of course, no, my luck, this is when two other comedians walk up. So now it just looks like I'm just bullying him, and I'm just being like, you're a jackass and an asshole. And they have none of the setup for why I'm acting the way I am. So then they're like both like kind of looking at me weird, like I'm a dickhead, when they don't know, one, a history of this guy being insulting to me, which, whatever. You know, that's just how people or comedians can be sometimes over a long period of time, especially when they see you completely be fucking trash from like 6 years ago, and that's what they assume you still are. And they're both like, I'm like, all right, man, I'm just going to leave you alone. Have a good night. And I walk away. And then both these other two comedians just like kind of come up to me and they're like, yo, you're right, man. What was that about? Like, and I was like, dude, he was just insulting me. I just retell them the whole story. And they're like, all right. But it's almost like they still just believe I was the, they don't believe it. It's what sucks about having my face. When you look like me, no matter you have, I really do have to walk around and be very, very kind to within this stupid comedy community that I am trying everything to get out of. So if you could, keep listening to the podcast and tell people. But when you look like I do, I think I just look like their high school bully or something. So I just have to have – I have to be like over-friendly to compensate for whatever I look like or preconceived notion people have about me. I don't know. I hate having those interactions. It's really, really gross. Really, really gross. Really, really is. There's one other thing I totally... I alluded to this last week, but I think I told you, I don't know if I told the full story about me getting, my neighborhood, I feel like my neighborhood's getting worse than it was. It's just getting awful. It's getting horrible here. Like, I was just walking home from the gym at noon on a Sunday, 11:58. And I start like sensing that somebody's like following me, and I kind of look over my shoulder, and I see that it's like a 17 or 19, 17 or 19 year old black kid in my neighborhood, and I then am like in my head like, oh, he's following you, but you're also maybe just being a racist. That's what my initial inclination was, that I was just being like a racist. And so I was like, you know what? Don't be a racist. Just keep walking. So this kid, like, and now, like, as I'm walking, I'm kind of like, you know, in New York, you just jaywalk like crazy. So I'm just crossing the road whenever I feel like it. I'm cut between cars. And it's odd because every time I cut between a car to get to the other side of the road, like park, you know, the parked cars that are parallel parked, every time he takes the exact same route. He takes an identical route that I do. And I'm like, huh, this is odd. He's really following me, or just coincidentally taking the exact same route I am. Very, very odd. So I cut between all these. I'm cutting 2 yards. Now he's like kind of speeding up and he's getting real close to me. And I was on the phone with my mom too, with like headphones in, and I kind of sense it. So because I have headphones in, I'm holding my phone in my hand like at about nipple height, and this. He then speeds up, and then I slowed it. He's, like, walking directly behind me, which in New York, when nobody else is there, that's a weird thing to do. You either have to, like, speed up and just pass people or slow down and let them leave you in the dust. But you don't walk, like, in step right behind people. So then I slow down a lot so he can just go around me. You know what I mean? I'm a good driver. That's how – we talked about it last week. That's how I am. I pull to the right, and I let you go by me in the passing lane. I'm a gentleman. I'm a good driver, a safe driver. I recognize that other people and other cars on the road, if they're going faster, then I should not impede their progress. So I pulled to the right, and I let this dude walk around me. Here's what's weird, is then this guy, after he passes me because I'm walking so slow, so so that he has no choice. He then slows down so I could repass him? Bizarre. Such bizarre behavior. Now I'm on, so I kind of like give him a weird look, and he goes, hey, can you tell me the time? And I was on the phone with my mom, so I stopped talking to my mom for a second, and I click, you know, the button on my iPhone to see what time it is, and I go, oh, it's 11:58. Now this kid then takes two steps towards me, and I go, hey man, you need to back up. You're making me uncomfortable right now. And then he lunges for my phone, and we both grab my phone at the exact same time, and we're wrestling with each other for a second. And at this moment, my old man strength just kicks in, which it's nice I finally have that at the age of 30. I mean, I really hope at the age of 45 it kicks up like even more notches. Like, and if you don't know what old man strength is, have you ever like wrestled your dad even when you're grown up? Like, even though my dad is like 65 and doesn't work out and hasn't lifted weights, I still think he could beat me up no problem. That's what old man strength is. It's just you've been on the earth longer, you fought gravity longer, so you can kick the shit out of anyone younger than you. Like, your dad will always beat you up no matter what. Finally, though, I'm getting some old man strength. I ripped the phone out of this 17-year-old kid's hands. And then we lock eyes. He looks me in the eye. And then he just punches me in the chest. And then I freeze for a second, look at him. And then I turn and I just bolt down the street as fast as I can. It was hilarious as this guy then started chasing me. He started chasing me. And then after about 15 steps, he gave up. Because he didn't know who he was dealing with. He didn't know he was dealing with White Forrest Gump. That's who I am. I'm White Forrest Gump. I'm the fastest white boy in Bushwick. Hands down. I will race any white dude in this neighborhood. I will smoke them. I will smoke them. And I just sprint down the road and I get away. And I'm still on the phone with my mom because I've got headphones in. So my mom's still hearing this like scuffle and this punch and hearing me like be like, help, like running like a bitch. Not like a bitch, like an intelligent person. I'm not going to fight you. I don't know why running is considered a bitch move. Or what? Like it's real manly to get your head kicked in? No, thank you. I'm not going to fight. You know how much it'd take to get me to fight? I'll just leave. We're two people on Earth. The Earth is huge. If we got a problem, just go to different parts of the Earth. We don't need to fight for this single plot of land or something. That's so stupid. Fighting is dumb, especially at the age of 30. You get hit in the head at 30, the bounce back. Not there. It's not there compared to, like, I guess when at 17, you can just get hit in the head and you're fine. Crazy stuff can happen to you. When you're 17, you're just so young, you can bounce back from everything. Have you ever, like, watched two 30-year-olds fight? It's so funny. Watching two 30-year-olds fight is, anyone above the age of 30, like old grown men fight is so funny. It's because it's not really a fight so much as it's a wake-up call. Because the guys start out and they square up and they each throw about four punches. And then before you know it, they're both just out of breath, huffing and puffing. They can't breathe. They're both just like hands on these like, man, you know what? I've been paying for that Planet Fitness membership. I really think I need to start using it. So yeah, I bolt down the street. I'm on the phone with my mom still. And she's like, Jordan, what's going on? Are you okay? Jordan. And I get away from this kid. And I'm like, you know, I'm onto like Broadway. So I'm on a main street in Brooklyn where there's like a lot of people around. And the kid, you know, quit chasing me and stuff. And I'm like, Mom, fine. The kid, some guy just tried to steal my phone. He punched me, but he hit me in the chest. And my old man strength kicked in. Glad I finally get that. Can't wait for my AARP card. Thank you, Mom. Told her I was okay. And she's like, well, you should call the cops. And I was like, I don't want to call the cops. Black Lives Matter. No, I'm like, God damn it. But if I call the cops, it's going to be my whole Sunday. My day's going to be hanging out with cops and going over this stupid case that nothing happened to me. She's like, you should call him. It's the right thing to do. And I'm like, all right, I'll do it. I'll call the cops. So I call the police and I tell them where I am, what happened, where I thought it happened. Yeah, I'll get to that in a second, but where I thought it happened. And I was impressed by how fast the cops showed up, by the way. It was like they were already looking for the kid. I like called 911, and then before I knew it, like 10 seconds, I just heard police sirens, and they just like apparated like right next to me. It was crazy how fast they showed up. So two of them roll up, and they go, get in. And I get in the car. I'm in the back seat, and they're like, ask me, who did it? I'm describing the kid. 17, 19 year old, had a short fro. I think he had on black Adidas sweatpants, but I told them red Adidas sweatpants. Here's the thing about these moments, though, and it made me question like all eyewitness testimony. You have no idea what really happened. Like, you start going back to the moment, and you're like, memory is shit. Complete shit. It's so hard to remember the details of what happened. That was struck me the most. Is they were like asking me for. I told them the wrong street on where it happened because I couldn't remember what street it happened on. I couldn't remember the block or anything because I was just sprinting away. I wasn't like thinking, oh, I need to remember where I'm standing right now for this eyewitness testimony that I'd have to give. And so we ride around for like 20, 30 minutes. I'm in the back seat of the cop car, and there's like three or four other cop cars circling around. We're all on like the radio looking for him. And by the way, you can tell these cops are loving this. They're having the time of their lives. I'm kind of enjoying it too, honestly. It was like fun riding around in that back seat, turning on the siren, running through red lights, which usually I hate when cops do that. I can't stand it when cops just turn on their sirens to run through red lights, and then they turn it off and they just drive around freely. Because that's what they always are doing, that sort of thing. They really always are. And after like, I don't know, 25, 30 minutes, we go, yeah, they probably went inside a house, which of course they did. They tried to steal an iPhone, and then they heard cop sirens. There's no way these kids were like, hey, let me just hang out in this corner a little bit longer. No. They immediately were like, we got to go hide. They're probably going to look for us. So they're gone. We don't see them. So the cops, we all meet at the point where I thought the interaction happened. I was wrong. I realize it now, but then you also kind of get there and you're like, I don't really feel like letting everyone down with my bad eyewitness testimony. So you feel pressure to try to remember as much as you can. But this is what was hilarious. This made me laugh so hard. One of the cops got out of the car and he just goes, fuck, I want to catch those motherfuckers. He was so angry. Fuck, I want to catch those motherfuckers. I started laughing so hard that that was his reaction to like not catching these kids. I was like, that is exactly who I want looking for these kids. Exactly who I'm looking for. So then I take down all the details of what happened. I try to remember best I can. I'm honestly so hard to remember. So hard, but I'm doing my best. I give them the details I know. This is when they drop the real bomb on me. So now I've already spent like 30, 45 minutes riding around looking for these guys, talking to the cops and stuff. 30, 45 minutes, and I'm like, then I could tell they like kind of go to the side and they're like, all right, let's get them with the big pitch. And they're like, all right, so hey, is there any way you'd like to come downtown to the police precinct and could you give like an official testimony? And I'm like, oh, and they lead it off with this. They go, you had a lot of time today? Motherfucker. God damn it. I mean, it's Sunday. Do I have a lot of time? I guess I do. I mean, I don't have anywhere specific to be, but the last place I want to be is at a police precinct looking at mugshots of black kids in my neighborhood. That's not fun. That's a terrible Sunday. But I also want to be a decent citizen. So I then say, yeah, I got time. I could come down and fill out whatever and do whatever you guys need. So then they, the cop car is now an Uber. We ride down to the precinct, go upstairs, get one of those, you know, those rooms where you've seen them in movies where the, you actually like interact where you see like someone's like chained to a bar and the cop is across them being like, where were you July 16th? And I'm in one of those rooms, except they're not chaining me to anything and they're just letting me sit there. Repeat the whole testimony I just gave. And then they go, do you have time to look at some mugshots of kids? And I'm like, yeah, I can look at the mugshots, see if I can identify anyone. They sit me down at a computer and they turn on, I told them, this is who did it, a 17 to 19 year old black kid with a short afro. That's who did it. That's who punched me. But so they turn on the filters on for, you know, people who fit that description. And we start, and I start just clicking through all the pictures to see if the person is in their database. And nothing makes you feel more like a racist than flipping through 521 pics of black kids trying to figure out which one did it. I felt so horrible just flipping through only black. It made me want to be like, hey, can we just throw a white kid and a Latino kid in there? Just every, and an Asian kid, every, I don't know, 15 to 40 photos, just so that it doesn't just only feel like you guys are catching black people. Now, I know they put the filters on. I know that. And also, that is the person who did it was a black kid. I know that. But it still feels awful and weird when you're just clicking through, being like, not that one, not that one, not that one, maybe that one, or maybe I'm just a racist who can't differentiate people's faces, not that one. And then I'm like, man, I start, like, it's been so long, like, it was a couple hours, or an hour and a half, 2 hours since this happened, and, like, everything's getting fuzzier in my memory about, like, what did this guy's face look like, that I'm like, fuck, do I really even want to say it was one of these kids when I'm not even sure it was, it would have been them? Like, just hypothetically, if one of the mugshots that they showed me did look like the kid, like, would I be even confident enough to press charges? I don't think so. I really don't think so. But, and I tell them this, I go through the whole thing. I don't click maybe or yes on any of them. I just go, didn't see the kid. I didn't see him at all. At the end of it, they then take me for another ride to be like, oh, maybe he's out now. And so I go for another ride around the neighborhood. And then the cops drive me home. What's funny about being in a car with cops is that whatever you think cops act like, that is exactly how they act. Whatever, all those cop dramas perfectly nail how police officers in New York City talk and how police officers act. They nail it. They're all like, have you seen the sketch my brother and I did? The Rabel Brothers sketch on the Italians, like the Italians, or these two native New Yorkers give a tour of New York, and we're just doing these horrific New York accents. We're like, hey, I'm Tony Panzalone, and I'm Nino Bienvenido. They're acting like that. All the cops. Doesn't matter. They're not even Italian, and they're acting like that. They're like, hey, check out that girl's cans, like as we're looking around. Oh, my God. And they're talking about, like it's and they're also like gossiping about different like notorious small-time criminals in Bushwick, like what's going on with them. Be like, hey, you see the Johnson kid, you seen him around lately? Like, hey, yeah, we picked him up last Friday, that kid has problems. Like they're actually talking and acting like that. It's so funny. It was so funny to be in that car. Anyway, don't find him. They drop me off, and yeah, I lived my life afterward. Just lost a Sunday because some kid tried to steal my iPhone. What would you even... It's weird. It all sucks. It just sucks. It's almost like, dude, if you, I would have bought that kid a sandwich if he just wanted it. You know what I mean? I don't get. You know what's really funny, though, is that, like, I don't know the exact years on this, so don't quote me on this, but what's funny is that, like, if that kid got caught, he would have gone to jail for... I left this detail out, but he was, like, fumbling in his pocket, and I think he... My guess is that he had some sort of weapon in his pocket. Definitely didn't have a gun, because that would have had a certain shape, but I do think he had some sort of knife in his pocket, because he was nervously fumbling looking for a knife. Or looking for something in his pocket, and he was nervously fumbling it, and I think he was trying to get his knife out, but he was nervous because he probably hadn't used one before, and nor should he, and I hope he never does, and I hope that no one else gets hurt by anyone, and I hope that kid doesn't get hurt. I mean, the reason I reported it is because the biggest reason I did it is because I thought I wouldn't want someone else to have to go through, like, legitimately get hurt in some sort of interaction like that. So if somebody's doing that to people in the neighborhood, then hopefully the cops are able to find them. You know? God, I just lost my train of thought. I had something to say before I just went on that stupid, boring-ass public service announcement I did at the end. I love that, how, like, I feel like this day and age you always have to do, like, the public service announcement at the end of some statement. After, like, you say how you really feel, you gotta be like, and I know that not everyone's like that. I know not everyone does that. I know this is an isolated incident. But it's funny, like, for, like, probably five... I think I... For those next 5 hours, I think I was allowed to be racist. What if that's how it worked? Is after, like, a race of people, like, a certain race does something horrible to you, you're allowed to be racist for a certain amount of time afterward. Oh, my God. Oh, did have a mental effect, because I really was, like, whenever I saw a black teenager in my neighborhood for, like, probably a day, I was, like, weird. I was, like, nervous around him, and I was like, oh, no, it's a different one. That feels bad to embarrass, to express that. That feels bad. That makes me feel horrible that I just said that. But that's the truth. That's really how I felt. That is really, 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 truly how I felt. Oh, man. You know what I want to be? I want to be one of those people who's talentless yet famous. Like, how nice of a situation is that? Because if you have to, like, do something for your fame, like, you have to have some sort of talent for your fame, like, you got to keep up the talent. Everyone's going to keep judging you. Like, if you're Kanye, you know how much it sucks to be Kanye? He has to keep coming out with great albums. And I enjoyed the ones he just came out with. I don't know shit about rap, frankly, but I enjoyed them. I really did. I enjoyed, what's the second song on that? Well, first off, the intro thing about I Thought About Killing You, that was awesome. That was pretty cool. But what was the second song on it? But whatever. But yeah, like, how much does it suck to be like Kanye? You have talent. You have talent and you're famous. Like, you had to work so hard to get there. He had to work so hard, and he had to keep putting out great piece after great piece. And now, like, whenever he really falters, everyone's going to jump on him and try to destroy him. Everyone will. So how much does it suck to have talent and fame? I want to be talentless and famous. Does that make sense? So I want to be, like, famous, but for fucking nothing. I want to be famous, but not because I did anything. I just want to be famous. And I also don't want to do the work. I want to be famous without any talent and not have to do the work. That's what I want. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's some people in movies who are that way, who, like, don't really have talent, but they're famous and they're in movies all the time. Like, one that was brought up in my acting class, Keanu Reeves, famous, not that good an actor. You know, I heard he's a nice guy. That's great. There's a lot of nice guys in the world. A lot of nice people in the world. But Keanu Reeves, I mean, what a gift to be in The Matrix. They were like, hey, we need a guy Like, why would they cast him? Hey, we need a guy who is flat faced at all times. Yo, I don't think this is going that bad for someone who's just talking in a microphone alone. Makes me wonder, did I ever need Mike Coscarelli? I don't think I did. I don't need you, Mike. I never needed you. You ain't shit. You're not the talent. I'm the fucking talent. You're nothing. You're a fucking nothing. I really hope Mike listens to that. I really, really do. You know what else is funny? Brett, you probably all know my brother Brett, but Brett came home and he ran into Coscarelli. By the way, there actually is, I just want to clarify something. There's no bad blood between us at all. We're still good friends. We text. No bad blood. So if I shit on Mike or say anything bad about him, totally a joke. None of it is serious. None of it is serious. It is all meant in jest. Though I still think he is a cuck. Giant Cuccarelli. Mike Cuccarelli. Former podcast host of Anxiety Now. Mike Cuccarelli. But Brett ran into Mike, and Brett usually makes fun of people a lot. Little known fact about Brett. Not that nice. Love him. Brett's hilarious. To people's faces, nicest guy in the world. But underneath it, darkness. Brett is darkness underneath. Nice exterior, you get to know him, darkness. So Brett, though, is very nice to people's faces, doesn't want to insult Mike. But apparently, Mike has put on the poundage. And Brett described him as a fat Italian who's been eating a little few too many meatball subs. So if you guys could, let Coscarelli know that. He's one of, I think Mike and a lot of men are this type of thing where like the second, like if they have like a stable relationship or married, they get fat. Why do guys do that? They think it's okay. They go like, oh, I already got my woman. I don't need to keep working out. Why? You need to keep working out. Your wife will leave you or you'll stop fucking. Because you're disgusting. You're a human salami. It's gross. Why would you stop working out? Why would you stop taking care of yourself? It's not over. You know? It's not over. She could still leave you. There is nothing sadder than being a divorced man who's lost his children. There's that saying that men live quiet lives of desperation. I get it now. I get it. We do. There is just a fear of being alone immediately underneath the surface of every guy. Every guy. Every guy who is married should be and is. Every guy who's married and the marriage is going remotely well is so relieved. And they, from my vantage point, often try to do everything they can to keep their wife married to them, often to the detriment of their own personal immediate happiness. They'll do crazy stuff to stay in the marriage. They'll get up at 5 a.m. and work 16 hours so they can pay for all their family shit. I know we're supposed to live in a world where that gender role is disappearing. But it's not. It's not. It isn't for men. It is for you. Here's another observation. Is that when a man makes the money, it's for the it's our money. When the woman makes the money, it's her money. What a good paradigm that we have set up. I hope that some of you write in and be like, that's not true. That's not true at all. You know what? I still pay for most dates. And I go on dates with, quote, feminists. So somehow I'm still picking up all the coffee tabs and all the dinner tabs every time. You know? But yeah, men live quiet lives of desperation, just trying everything they can to not die alone. Yikes. God, I want to be talentless and famous, because then I never disappoint anyone. They're like, why is he famous? He does nothing. And I'm like, exactly. I do nothing. I'm just famous. I post shit to Instagram. That's my job. Can you believe that's a job? That's my job. I just take pictures of me in dope places on Instagram, and I post it, and people like it. And then sometimes I say, hey, try these underwears out. That's my job. That's my life. That is my life. That's what I want my life to be. It's just posting. Not really. I actually think that's like a prison too. If you like your career was just posting shit to Instagram, just you have to like imagine having to constantly like pose for photos and then retake them and 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 retake them. I mean, if that were my case, I would just my brain's out. I would shoot myself in the head. I wouldn't shoot myself. I'd just get an office job. Because working in an office is better than posing with a wine glass all day in front of some fucking boat. What a dumb life. What a pointless, trivial life. Well, guys, we did it. We made it to the end of this. That is 46 minutes of me talking to nobody. I was in my room alone. There's no producer here. There's nobody. Just me alone. I managed to do it. Made it all the way to the end of the podcast. And I didn't need anybody. I don't need any of you. You know what I do need? I actually need you. I need you, the person who listens. But I don't need anybody to help me come up with things to say for this podcast, okay? This is Anxiety Now taken to its extreme. One man alone on one mission to record 45 minutes of him talking to fucking nobody. And he did it. Mission fucking accomplished. Thank you so much for listening. Please like, share, and subscribe. And if you could, maybe tell some people about it, okay? Tell some people about this podcast. If you enjoy it, share it with some friends. Okay? I know it's probably a weird pitch. You're like, hey, this guy is a mental break. Especially now that it's only me alone. You're like, hey, this guy is a mental breakdown every week. Every week he records an hour of a mental breakdown approximately. And I listen to it. What's it about? Fuck if I know. But I appreciate you. Thank you so much for listening. Subscribe to this bitch. And I will see you next week. Have a good one. Oh, hey, I decided I was going to record a little bit more because I just remembered the point that I had about that whole story. Is that, so if that kid, this is back to the robbery story. I forgot this because, you know, whatever. And I just want to get it in there for, Jesus, fucking mosquito in my room. Why would God make mosquitoes? There's no reason for them. They had no value to anything. They just fucking bite you, make you itchy and miserable. Jesus. All right, back to the story. So if that kid gets caught, he'll probably go to jail for like 10 years or something, 5 years. I don't know. I guess juvie, he'll go to juvie for a while. But if he's an adult and you rob someone, you go to jail for a long time. You know what's really bizarre is that my brother, he prosecutes white-collar crimes, my older brother. And I think like the most he can put someone in jail for if they like, and so the people, the criminals are the people he prosecutes are always people who are horrific. These are people who lied on their taxes to the tune of tens of millions of dollars. Like they always have like, it's weird how they all have like four houses, nine boats, 10 cars, and somehow report no income. That's the type of people he's always prosecuting. That type of egregious white collar crime. So it's like, really odd. So here's what's odd about it is that the most he could put them in jail is like, I think like 40 something months or something. Yo, for $10 million, I would go to jail for 10 years. I will happily go to jail. And these are white-collar crime people, so the jail they get put in is minimum security. that it's practically a country club for them. They get put in a country club, and they're in this country club with all the other white-collar crime criminals, hanging out, having a grand old time, playing croquet in the prison yard, tennis. They have golf. They have a masseuse at these minimum security prisons. They have a masseuse at the minimum security prison. They have a guy who does acupuncture. They bring those like weird cup things that just make give you a bunch of hickeys on your back at this minimum security prison. Happily would go. That's not a prison sentence. That's just a networking meeting. It's a LinkedIn networking meeting at minimum security prison for the white collar criminals. It's unfair. That's my point. They both deserve the death penalty. It seems really unfair. If someone steals an iPhone, they'll go to prison for several years. And if someone steals $30 million from the entire country of America and the American public, they go to prison for relative to the amount of money they stole. I mean, they still keep a lot of their shit because they're all clever. They've all hidden their money in offshore tax accounts. They'll put it in Switzerland with UBS. By the way, fuck the Swiss. I know they get all this like, they're neutral. They're neutral. Yeah, they're just embezzling money for rich people there. That's it. They're neutral so that they can just protect all that money. It's bullshit. All right, bye.